I'm not.
Get off
doing.
My back.
Yes, we know who this is.
Let's just do Star Wars stuff and not have it be a Star Wars intellectual property. And that's fun, right?
Yes, well, there's never been a crossover into another universe, or has there, now that Disney owns it.
Yeah, but the whole Alien versus Predator thing makes Predator be a part of the Alien universe.
Yes, I know, and I don't feel it is the equivalent or the equal of the Alien thing. I always thought it was less well worked out.
But the whole reason for the Elle Fanning synthetic robot is that she is a Weyland Yutani robot.
Right, from that company. Well, is she in on the robot conspiracy?
Well, the lore version of Elle Fanning certainly is. Because she is, you know, she's dedicated to her programming, and she's very cold and whatnot, and the good Elle Fanning is very empathetic. In fact, her whole heroism is based on her empathy.
So, you recommend the movie?
John.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Go see it.
Theater, yeah.
How about Good Boy? Did you ever hear of that movie?
No.
Marcia.
Well, I think it may have come and gone, but it got a great review in the paper. It's about this dog, and the idea is that, you know, dogs can see things that humans can't, you know, bad ghosts and spirits, but the reviewer was unwilling to talk about any of that. He's just raving about what a great actor this dog was. And then he said, at the end of the review, he says, what kind of dog it is, because I know everyone's going to want to go out and get one of these. So,
I want the same gun as the killer, you know, in the Chow Yun-Fat character. Because I saw it in a movie.
Yes, that's how we learn.
If you didn't see it, you probably didn't see it in a movie.
Movies are thirsty for content.
No. You ever see the movie Mank?
What?
The movie called Mank.
Mank? About Joseph Mankiewicz?
The man who wrote Citizen Kane.
That sounds vaguely familiar, but if I did see it, I've completely forgotten it.
Marcia.
It was one of David Fincher's last movies.
John.
Is David
Marcia
Fincher no longer with us?
No, I think he's still alive.
Oh, just one of the last movies he made.
Yeah.
The
last one I remember him having directorial credit. And that's the way it works on Ask Dr. Howell Show. I was walking down the street and I
that's the way to do it.
I came across a chorus. And they were telling me about the elevated nutrients in the Nutella product. And when you put it on bread, it's a miracle.
I guess the nine-pound spiders have lost the gift of speech.
And many times in the explanation, they go through a searching process to
again. Yeah, so Predator Badlands,
we don't know why.
They really go full tilt boogie on making him a sympathetic character.
Interesting. Hard to figure out how one of those spider-faced guys could be sympathetic, but they are.
Well, you work through the eyes.
Yes,
you get the eyes right.
Yes.
You know, the whole gaping maw thing. You know,
it's, we must say no, it's my church.
But it's about how the eyes act. As, you know, like that's the vehicle.
Is it a makeup job or a CGI thing?
I'm sure it's CGI, yeah.
Now we switch our image from single file to
There's probably a
genius rec room.
Like actual body work.
Unfortunately, it's the
room.
But the whole mouth animation is a CGI thing. And there's a lot of CGI, I'm sure. Yeah. But I think there's probably crossover where it's just like this part was played by a person and then we just animated the head.
Sure, whatever is easier.
Baylor and Waiter Bader.
out.
Waiter, Bader.
Oh, he's not available now.
Yeah, there's like a... Basically, it's like, how do we get themes like family and redemption and whatnot into a Predator movie?
Well, isn't that the wrong place to look for them? What you want is scary science fiction action and...
Well, what you want is your venom-like creature becoming familial, right? It's like, oh, he's like a Klingon that's like battle-hardened and full of violence pride, you know? And then it's like, how do we get this guy to, like, do, like, what Terminator 2 was like with, like, we'll have Arnold as the Terminator who learns through the child to become less violent, and he does a little thumbs up as he's sinking into the lava pit, you know?
Absurdly inappropriate optimism.
Right. But that's what they want for these, like, growling violence junkies, is for them to become kind of cuddly and nice, you know?
Well, you're anticipating the thoughts of the citadels of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Wait.
And that's Hollywood.
Like, how do we Freaky Friday our tropes, you know? Kind of a thing. It's like, oh, and then he's constantly reinforcing the values of violence, but he's becoming softer and sympathetic and cool, and
it's gonna be okay.
It's, yeah.
Is there like a love-hate relationship between the chatty half-robot and the alien, and why does he have her strapped on again?
Because she saved his life.
And she knows stuff that could be helpful.
Exactly, and then she goes like, well, I'll appeal to his interest and his ego by calling myself a tool that could be used, and then they make use of this thing by having him call her out as like, you're a tool, be quiet, you know, kind of a thing. It's like, you're my wife, goodbye city life, kind of a thing.
Well, it worked out for them.
But, you know, but then he doesn't, like, sometimes he doesn't refer to her as a tool and refers to her as like a sentient singular being, and that's when you see, you know, like the cracks of his armor, and, you know, like, oh, he could respond to vulnerabilities. He doesn't have to just be a trophy seeking kill machine. I mean, was that kind of what the Iron Giant was based on?
Yes. Well, it was a story by Ted Hughes.
It's like, oh, this military, you know, Death Star robot, you know.
Yeah, but he had a dent in his head, which damaged that aspect of his personality.
So now he's kind of like a clean slate, and he can learn like a child.
Well, he's an active intelligence, but he's not military defined until he regains that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether I should be prepared for Relodio or not, but I will be, in case.
Well, I think we're going to take this week off, and then that's the prescribed hiatus, was 2 weeks.
You won't have me to kick around, at least until St. Wigglesworth's Day.
Maybe we should all just take a break until then, you know? I don't know. I mean, it's all up to Sarah. Sarah's that just got to, like, make up her mind and
right.
Say, like, okay, you guys can come back. It's cool. Instead of, like, you are not invited. That was a little harsh.
Oh.
Like, I'm going to do my own thing. You're not invited. But, you know. You do what you can for your home. I mean, if someone you don't like comes into your house, you could legally kill them, right?
No, let's hope it wouldn't go that far.
It's like abortion is illegal, but you can kill a person for coming into your house.
Kind of retroactive abortion. That is to say, you know, you get born and you get a certain number of years and then you're aborted.
Yeah, aesthetically aborted. You can't hang with the cool kids anymore because you like that Nirvana album that that Rolling Stone said was the best record ever made.
It was that good.
By that time, Rolling Stone was the anti-cool mag, you know, wasn't good anymore.
It's still a good piece of journalism. A lot of big stories are reported there.
Yeah. No, I just mean on the...
There's some sort of obstruction, but it still works.
It's a weird thing. It's kind of like the Fillmore, you know, like mm-hmm. the Fillmore is like this great place to see a show, but it feels so mechanical and cold at the same time.
The spontaneity is long gone.
Well, it's just like how the place is staffed, like mm-hmm. what the borders are, what the rules are. It's just like it's like full of iconography. It has the watermarks of like a free-flowing life raft.
Yes, before everybody had to be indemnified who had a venue. So whatever happens, they can't get sued and
right.
have to pay off all their profits.
Have you seen One Battle After Another?
I heard it was quite good, but no, I haven't. Maybe I can catch up with some of that stuff while I'm in New York.
Like, I'm talking about Predator, but, like, One Battle After Another is the best movie that's come out this year. Mm. I've seen some bad movies, I've seen some good ones. I've had a good time at the theater with a bad movie.
Yeah.
But One Battle is pretty spectacular. Like, I think it deserves a viewing, and it's still theatrically available.
Will it be available on Netflix and so forth?
Oh, I'm sure it will be, yeah. It's just, it's a grand film, and I think it deserves the moment of the theater.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I've generally liked his films. I haven't been crazy about them, but I've liked them.
Yeah. I think Phantom Thread was the one I saw before this, and then because Licorice Pizza came out, and I did not see that one.
Hmm.
Oh, no, was it an Inherent Vice?
Well, I see there on...
There's a couple that I don't think I saw all the way through.
They're going to make Gremlins 3 now.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Is Joe Dante part of that?
I would hope so.
I mean, if he isn't, it would be weird, right?
Yeah, well, wasn't that in 1981? Or actually, the second one...
was 1990.
And that one lost money, so Hollywood put the kibosh on further Gremlins. But now they're bringing back Gizmo and everybody. So.
Right. We'll have Billy Peltzer as like a grandpa-type character.
Well, we'll see.
He'll be the new Futterman.
A big picture of a gremlin in the paper accompanied the story.
Gremlins 3.
Yeah. Gremlins 3, People Zero.
Well, you know, there's a lot of new culture stock to, you know, to lampoon through gremlinism.
That's true. It would seem that the second one was more apropos, about sinister tycoons sponsoring secret labs and so forth.
Right. Yeah, you had Christopher Lee as, like, the doctor of a genetics lab.
Yes, who created part gremlin, part giant spider.
He was the stripe of
beautiful stop-motion animation.
He was like the lead villain gremlin, right? The one that became the spider.
They made him the spider, huh? That I didn't recall, but I believe...
Well, you remember in the original Gremlins, right?
Yes.
Stripe
he was the ringleader of the bad one.
But I think the spider gremlin was kind of like the ringleader gremlin of the bad gremlins. You know? I could be wrong. I don't know. That's just my feeling. Oh, and by the way, just speaking of gremlins...
Yeah.
I went and saw Built to Spill last night, and there was a girl that worked at the chapel who looked kind of like Marla Bloodstone.
How is that?
She didn't have, like, the full red hair with... it's like Marla Bloodstone had kind of a candy apple red curly long hair. And the girl that worked at the chapel had long, curly hair, but it wasn't as full and it wasn't as candy apple red.
Huh. Well, was this in any way intentional?
I don't know, but like I was thinking like, wow, she's not a dead ringer for Marla Bloodstone, but she's definitely in the ballpark. Because it's like... She had a white face with the red hair and the long curly hair.
Was she someone who worked there?
Yeah. She was like who was darting around and working. And I was thinking, like, she's not too far off from the Marla Bloodstone character in Gremlins 2, because she's got a very pro-business tone about her. You know, like how she worked and how she walked around the place. It was very determined and... there wasn't a clamp to suck up to, you know, so she was basically just doing her captain's work, you know, amongst the rest of the bartenders and whatnot. But yeah, I kind of got a Marla Bloodstone vibe from her. And I was kind of like, oh, Gremlins 2. In the real world, who knew, you know?
Well, I don't know where this idea came from, but, you know, they relentlessly go over everything that's already been done and try to figure out how to do it again.
So you don't remember the Marla Bloodstone character?
Not all that much. It's been a while since I ever saw that, to tell the truth.
So it's Gremlins 2. Billy Peltzer works in a clamp building.
Uh-huh.
The Daniel Clamp, you know, tower.
Yes.
And
it's like Trump,
right? Exactly. So, like his like pit boss per se is this character called Marla Bloodstone. She has like long red curly hair, and then her boss is played by Robert Picardo, and Robert Picardo's boss is the top boss, the final boss, Dale Clamp. Robert Picardo is kind of like his right-hand man.
Well, who's the big boss?
The big boss is Clamp. But Picardo is like the executive officer.
I mean, who plays Clamp?
Oh, that's a good question. He's in a lot of stuff.
Hmm. Well, interesting. Have to track that one down.
But I don't know what's Marla's name either. But I know that Dick Miller, he plays the Futterman. He's like Mr. Futterman on vacation in New York. He winds up in New York. Like, hey, Mr. Futterman, you know.
Right, and then he's dive-bombed by a stop-motion bat-winged gremlin.
Yeah, they won't have a Dick Miller to kick around anymore.
Unless everybody can be computer-generated. Like that one actress who's computer-generated who's very controversial.
Who are you talking about?
I forget her name, but it's this woman who's been in a bunch of things, and she's entirely computer-generated. It doesn't actually exist. Her picture was in the paper, too.
I mean, there's bands that are AI bands, you know, putting out songs.
Hmm.
It's weird to think. It's like... A AI has constructed a band to perform a song, you know, or perform a record.
Right, which was also created by AI.
Yeah, but AI construct, it wasn't like AI constructed a single, you know, like Rick Astley or Frank Sinatra or something.
Well, these bands, these musics are suitable to be analyzed and duplicated or synthesized. Seem so full of life. Tiny footsteps scampering here and there. Just see how proudly he carries that knife. He falls in love with anything live. He wants a Colt for Christmas. Colt 45.
Ham's the beer refreshing.
From the land of sky blue waters.
Water.
Comes the water best for brewing. Ham's the beer refreshing. Ham's.
I hear engines. No, that's just the Ham's beer.
The Ham's bear. You always hear that music when you see the bear.
What about the A&W root bear?
Not familiar with him. But I've got somewhere an old Ham's ad where there's the semi-drunk guy at the bar and a little animated Ham's bear is doing things.
And then the there's the Coca-Cola ad where
they
there's
really
polar
got carried
bears.
Away. Oh, right. Yeah, the drinking Coke out on the ice floes.
Right. Like having a moment. See, they're doing to polar bears what Predator Badlands is doing to the predator, predator species.
Well, their problem
is Klingons. That's all they are.
Not having enough Coca-Cola to drink.
They're not any more or less interesting than Klingons.
Yes, they still all get clean using Klingon bath oil beads.
Klingon, take me away. Yes.
What about people send their kids to Klingon language camp? You know?
Oh, yeah.
What torture is that?
Meh.
What torture that would be, you know, you could be learning something, but instead you're...
Widdish, mock.
Say, your accent's pretty good.
That was, I was asking for an extra McNugget.
Do they have a Klingons at McDonald's, a commercial?
No, but it would be a great, like... You know, studio crossover.
Yeah, like
thing,
the Klingon is there making an order, but there's this nerdy server who understands Klingon and he can talk to him. And he walks away in great satisfaction with a huge heaped up tray of burgers and things.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, now I'm loving it, you know, or something.
Yes, that would be put as a subtitle across the bottom. I see.
Right.
Articulated it in Klingonese. And that Klingon fabric.
Mutat me! He's asking for a filet of fish, I believe.
A fish, you say? Yes, the fentanyl crowd is what was the verb I was going to say? Not cashed in, chipped in, maybe.
Well, how do you take fentanyl is like in a liquid or a
that's
powder?
What they're talking about on the chatterbox right now.
Yeah.
Some say you get a little foil slide and smoke it, which is one way of smoking heroin. but it apparently works for fentanyl too. Actually, if you have put a liquid preparation of heroin in your nose, you might get a horrible disease that you can only get by doing that and rot your nose from the inside out. It's been known to happen.
Maybe Radio Valencia could have a fentanyl bank, you know, like...
VJ says, I think you can snort it, too.
I gotta get my snort on.
A rip snorter.
When am I gonna get my snort on?
Ah, me.
In about 10 minutes. Cleveland, are you ready to rock? We will in about 10 minutes.
Well, maybe so, yes. 10 minutes is a pretty good estimation.
So I guess there was, I mean... Did anyone knock at the door?
I haven't heard, but I have headphones on.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he just defaulted to going like, I'll just wait for him to show up at the...
Right.
I'll just see him at 1.
Well, I'll probably have to close up shop a little bit early once again to get everything stowed away so I can be...
Over but you there. Have everything like in a to-go bag, right?
Kind of thing? I have to pack that bag.
I see what you mean.
It takes a bit.
Bags don't pack themselves, though.
Especially these. Because all these little discs has to be put back in their sleeves and warm, comforting blankets.
That's
before
right.
They can get loaded and stacked into the bag to be hauled homeward hours from now.
Gola hauls.
That's right. Here, show how you carry the compact disc for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just do that then.
That's what I need. Gola could help me get all that stuff down here.
It wouldn't even faze him, you know. Lugging his body weight around alone is, he's a thick man.
Mm-hmm. Well, monumental character.
Gola.
He's there in the Caliph's prison yard, whatever he did, although one assumes he was an accomplice. Waiting to be executed.
Oh, like a hired hand for violence?
He was going to be executed with the rest of them, but they got paroled to go on the Colossa expedition.
Or the hangman's noose.
Which shall it be? The Cyclops horn or the hangman's noose? This man sailed with me, and he's all right. Yeah, but he didn't make it past the second trip to the island.
It was Harufa?
Harufa. Like, yeah, Harufa was standing there.
When you're gonna be gone for a few weeks, where are you going?
I'm just going to visit my sister in upstate New York.
Oh, neat. Okay.
And I don't know. I was planning to travel around, but I don't have the money I thought I was gonna get. So I don't know if I can really do that.
Travel around the Eastern Seaboard.
Well, I'll get on a train and go to Buffalo or something. Go to all the way down to Manhattan. It's actually harder to get. Off toward Buffalo. But the train goes there.
time is it now?
Why, it's on the very cusp of 12:30 a.m., somewhere in the 12:29 zone.
12:29 and a half, thank you very much.
So we got half an hour of Saturday under our belt already.
Yeah. The heavy lifting of a Saturday is really in the first 2 hours.
Well, I have this...
the rest is cake.
...show to get to over with, or I used to be. That used to be the first challenge, and now it is puzzling evidence in the matin.
Well, this door card idea sounds intriguing for the time being.
Yes, we could do it. In fact... since I'm going to be gone, why don't you just take it?
Oh, there you go.
You know how to operate it?
Well, the way that you did it was you tap the back door screen.
You just hold it up near there, and it says welcome, and the door opens.
It's like a hotel room card. You know, like hotel room doors are unlocked in similar fashion.
The Buddha pointed out a long time ago.
You know, they would kill the rhino and take the horn, and then they would grind the horn up and sell granulated rhino horn as like a aphrodisiac for Chinese
male testosterone.
And I think I would like to buy granulated rhino poacher. I think that would be... We should sell that.
As long as it didn't make you feeling a little bit poachy. Because the cannibal theory is that when you eat your enemy, you get to become him. And who knows that he's not becoming
I wasn't going to eat it. I was going to sell it. I was.
All right. Well, there you go.
That was a business venture that me and K-Rob were going to do.
Yes, many a plan formulated in enthusiasm has gone nowhere owing to the vicissitudes of existence and the difficulty to progress. At last, our bliss.
Wasn't even thinking.
And where are you going?
I'm just kind of cold.
Oh, but I'll remember.
But here's what.
I'll give you that card. Don't let me leave without doing it.
Neat. Okay.
In my pocket over there.
I getcha. But here's the thing.
I have to get it after I come back.
I think I'll only get to use it for one show.
Oh.
Like the, the fourth. Thursday of November. Like, you'll be back but before the second Thursday in December, right?
The 11th. Yeah. That's when.
Well, I'll get to use it once. That'll be cool.
Sure, it makes sense, but don't lose it.
Yeah.
Let me have it back, because
I'm really having a hard time getting my own one.
And I hope you do. You can still do it, you know, while you're temporarily using this one. They don't have to know.
I mean, I've only recently put out messages to alternate people. But there was a guy who trained me, and he said he basically promised that I would have one soon, and like I kept asking, like, what's the status, and like he wouldn't answer me. Mm-hmm. And then I tried other members of the station, and they haven't answered me either. So, like, that's why I'm kind of getting...
You're trying them by writing emails?
Yeah. I'm basically saying, I've been trained, I should get a door card, but it wasn't available for me. And, like, I'm wondering, like, is there a way for me to get it past the guy who's been ignoring me? But, like, they're all ignoring me. So it's, like, kind of nutty in that regard. The only person that responds to my emails is the guy who I have to email when I upload my shows, because you upload your shows and then you give KPFA an email saying the shows are loaded, and then they email you back with a confirmation that yes, we've received them and they're in the queue. You know, it'd be like calling up Marco Middlesex for a rerun, you know, like you wanted to, an appropriate rerun for your
right.
time away, and you call him and then he sets it up. So the guy that sets up the file distribution thing at KPFA gives me emails back, but nobody else does. Not since October, like, 16th or 15th or something. It's been like a month. It's weird. A month of nothing.
You should continue to resend the same emails.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'll just fade away toward the bottom of the column.
Yep.
Rather than write further letters, although you could do that too.
Well, that's the thing. It's like,
just to remind.
My initial thing was responding to the initial emails of the training guy. But he never emailed me back after I was trained. So, like, my kind of conspiracy brain goes, it's like, well, I trained him. I don't need to talk to him anymore. But, like, the whole visit was, like, an incomplete thing, because I should have walked out of that training session with a door card. I should have had it with me as I was leaving the station. But it wasn't ready for me, whatever, that I was told that it would be. And every time I asked, what's the deal? Was nothing, so like I really don't want to have to go to Berkeley on random days
and wait around there
on the hope that there's a physical person that would answer the door that would
Was like my predicament trying to get into the Impact Arts Hub back when there was no certainty as to whether the Kissy app would actually work to open the door.
Right. But you would assume a 59,000 watt station in a major market area would have some staff in the room on a weekday afternoon.
Yes. On the Impact Arts Hub, however, it was a huge echoing building where people could be distant or involved in their own affairs and not inclined to come to the door if they saw somebody there.
Right. But somehow you were able to breach that gap.
All but one time when I had to give up and go home because there was no way I was getting in there.
Yeah.
And yet they said, well, we can't go backward.
Yeah. Not when there's AI billboards to put on I-80.
What do those have in them?
Well, it's like when you're on I-80 and you're, like, coming into San Francisco from the Bay Bridge or leaving San Francisco to the Bay Bridge. Just about every billboard, except for maybe, like, a health center billboard, you know, like Kaiser Permanente or something, they're all AI advertisements. So, you know, the scene is flooded. Like, you don't even see the Coca-Cola billboard anymore, and you don't see the...
Is it still there, or is it just covered with another billboard?
I don't know. Like, it wasn't in my field of vision, and I was crossing the bridge a couple times, one of which was the time that I went to KPFA to try to get my training and my door card. a weird time for the studio life. Yeah. I don't think Sarah wants to put the Relodeo in Kaputzville, but it definitely feels kind of strange around these times.
I thought she indicated she might be willing to give it a try. But at any rate, I did send her a message telling her when I would be away and everything.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping you'll have another studio to come home to.
That is good. I would enjoy it. I mean, what happens is you get the Redosaurus and Tumac statue and so on.
Well, if she was mad enough.
Oh, wow.
You know, I think she'd just claim it all, you know.
Yeah.
Not
likely, though.
I don't think there's... She would have to be so full of revenge.
Revenge.
That,
An unlikely thing.
That would bypass all manner of sympathy and empathy, uh-huh. You know. I don't think it's that bad.
That would be quite strange.
I don't think it's, like, beyond the pale of...
Realistically, to whom does it matter whether or not we are doing that show?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of cool, but, like, it's...
Of course.
But the thing for me is that, like, I put a lot of time and close to $100,000 money into that whole thing.
Yeah.
And it would be a shame for it to just be usurped on the grounds of an emotional disconnect, you know?
Mm.
But that's the thing. I don't think it's that bad. I think it's just... I think it's a thing of... you know, like a band getting back together.
Yes.
You know, like...
As William Blake said, the poison of the honeybee is the artist's jealousy.
You lost me.
It's like we're involved in an industrious creation, as are the bees, and yet they also sting. It's a side effect.
Yeah. So in this whole, it's like the religion of honey, almost.
Well, we're creating a product.
Yeah.
Audio honey, anyone? I don't know. That doesn't seem all that likely, but...
Honey bunches of audio.
It's not all honeyed words.
Honey,
and some
I'm
may
home.
Be dry as dust.
Yeah.
Historical and political lectures.
I just don't want the show to devolve into a exercise of spite, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think that would just kind of mean the end of the whole thing.
Well, I'd be surprised if there were that much spite in the equation. I think it's all just to, you know...
No, that's just my fear, you know.
Yes.
Like, I have aspirations for the show. I feel that we only meet like this, the bar that I have in my head. I feel we only, like, kind of get there every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
But I figure as long as we get there at all, it's kind of like what John Landis said about Hollywood films. It's like, Hollywood is lucky to make any one good film ever.
I've often thought that. It's amazing that anything good ever actually gets made, but it does.
Yeah. So it's like, you should be lucky for that one film. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it can happen, so, you know, come on. You know, like, we can still work this thing out, you know? So, yeah, it's not an alien concept.
Through the vagaries of creation.
But, yeah, there's plenty of, like, that's the thing. There's so much room for improvement. You know? We're going to be improving this thing all the time.
What are some things you would like to do?
Well, I would like to get... I would like to get a system that produced Relodio content, like on a regular stream, and then so the URL that you can go to get the Relodio signal, etc., the Relodio stream, like that would be active all the time or a lot more often.
Maybe, or be doing reruns?
Maybe. Like you're running content on the website.
So you can always go there and get something, not just at specific times.
So, that's the thing. I think the act of, like, turning the station on and playing something would incentivize, like, actually more live programming. Because it's like, oh, we're not just on Saturdays. We could be on whenever we want, you know, kind of a thing. And because the URL is always there, but we are not. And, like, what if we were there more? Maybe in the form of Tate, you know, like archival stuff? Or maybe, like, having more than one day a week to kind of play around. Who knows?
Yes.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be the same construct of participants. So, like, it doesn't have to be all four of us. It could be three of us, or two of us, or one of us, or, you know. Whatever we wanted to bring to the table, it would be a table that stuff could be brought to. You know. So, you know, that's what I think. You know, I think about that. I think about, you know, like, sometimes I'm not the best mixer, you know. Like, I could be better at that, you know. And sometimes it would be cooler if we were all kind of doing stuff at the same time instead of just taking turns doing things. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
that kind of a thing where it's like more conversational rather than it being like some kind of I'm on now, so everyone else has to be quiet or something. You know, it's like,
well, is anybody like that? I mean,
not intentionally, but that's kind of what ends up happening sometimes. It kind of turns into like this solo distribution thing, and it's like it's like when one thing happens, nothing else can happen based on its proliferation or its volume or whatever, you know. I'm just thinking, like, make the technique more of a thing for it's like, it's not like being loud and not being loud. You could be loud and quiet at the same time. And I mean, not at the same time. But you can deliver quiet material. You can deliver loud material. And if you know where the loud stuff works or where the quiet stuff works, you could do both and it would be great. You know?
It is hard to make that distinction, and the decision has to be made on the spur of the moment.
Yeah. But it's like when you can make both things work, you know, you can make the quiet stuff work, you make the loud stuff work. When that stuff actually works, and it's rare when it really does, but like when it does, you're like, this is why I'm here, you know. Kind of like, this is why I want to do this thing, you know. But it's this weird kind of like, you're not orgasming all the time. You just kind of get to these, you know, places and you kind of find a home in it, you know. Like, which we stole from Corsica. I think we all find our homes in different parts of the show, and I like the fact that there are different parts to find homes in. But for me, I like a certain thing, and it's hard to explain what that particular thing is, but like when it's happening, I feel that I know what that is, and it's a great place to get to.
VJ says, it would be cooler if I could hear all Relodio crew in real time.
Right, yeah. See, that's a way to make the station better. And I'm reticent to that idea because of Discord as a thing that will be controlled by me.
Uh-huh.
Or Doug.
You mean the platform known as Discord?
The thing is that the room is divided, right? There's this real-time division between what is communicated to Discord, VJ Pussycat hears you and Sarah in real time, but doesn't hear the full mix and doesn't hear me and Doug on our microphones. She may hear us, but only through your microphones, you know, like if our voices carry. And that is dependent upon whether or not the mix is so quiet that a microphone that's 6 feet away can pick up my voice with any kind of clarity or distinction, right? Or Doug's. And so there's this kind of like luck element in the real-time thing. So it's like if we weren't dependent on this room-divided thing, it would be as a result of me or Doug being the person that controlled the Discord app.
Yes.
As a communication tool.
Could you take turns doing it or something?
Well, I think that if it winds up in one guy's court, it's going to stay there. So, like, I'm figuring that since I'm at the main board, I should be the one controlling Discord. But the thing is that Discord is something that would come through on a laptop. And I use my laptop for other things. And I use my phone very rarely. But when I have to use my phone, in the case of getting Michael Pepe in on the Uber, it is a distraction, and I don't like it at all. I don't like being distracted by having to use my phone to deal with Uber in the middle of a show.
Although sometimes that's been, you know,
even though,
translated into the show.
Exactly, right. I'm like,
people follow, you know, the struggle of getting him in there, which is climaxed by him actually being there. But, of course, I understand how frustrating
that's the thing. It's like a necessary evil almost, you know. But it's a thing where it's like, I would really rather not have to do that for Michael Pepe to be in the show. It's like, I want the benefit of him being there, but I don't want to deal with Uber at all, you know. So, like, I want the benefit of Discord, but I do not want to deal with it. I fear that, like, Discord is a thing that I have to deal with, and it's like a chore and a task, rather than it being just some part of the show's fluidity, you know. But it's like a thing where, like, it's a task in my mind because I haven't learned it yet. You know, I simply just haven't learned how to make it work in the show yet. But it's like, it's kind of up to me to do it, because if I didn't do it, it wouldn't happen, like, to the betterment of the show. Like, it wouldn't be the full version that it should be. Right now, it's only half, you know. So VJ Pussycat is right to kind of grouse about it, because it's like, it's something that could be better, but as of yet, isn't.
Well, we know where we want to go, and we'll see how close we get in the fullness of time. And now, I'm going to begin my outro, as I am accustomed. It's not really even that much in advance of the end of the hour. But an interesting internal discussion took place. And so there is some value to that, I believe. But as winter succeeds summer, and the development of the cycles and seasons is an inevitable feature of our lives, so this grainy 16mm film of ducks bobbing in a pond is supposed to instill tranquility in the minds of the listening audience. If they're not tranquil now, looking at some long-dead ducks is unlikely to do it, except in the rare case where an individual is philosophically rather than viscerally struck by the omnipotent reality of mortality itself, the impermanence of things in a world in which matter is only animated by varying forms of energy. And so, on this occasion, I, Dr. Howland Dowell, will not be back, but I'm going to put up some reruns until I return to the state of California somewhere after December 11th, according to my current plans. And with that in mind, I hope you enjoy the reruns I will have selected and posted. And therefore, I say unto you at this juncture, good night and good morning. We'll be right back.
stars.